a great shaking. There's shaking going on in our world. You know, there's a lot of trouble. You know, there's political trouble and natural troubles, and there's just a lot of things happening in the world. And we're going to be talking about that today. I recently received a prophetic word given by Johnny Inlow about God's shaking and justice. And it was real long, so I cut it down. I'm just going to read a part of it. But it started out saying, a word from the Lord, the roar of my justice is now coming with its next wave, which was able to resist my last wave will not be able to resist this wave. I am coming in stronger, harder, and higher, and it is going to be disruptive. There's no mountain I won't climb, nor wall I won't tear down, coming to rescue those who need my justice. Exposures, exposures, exposures. I'm going to expose the very root systems of deep darkness. I'm pulling the cloak off of the sex trade industry's untouchables. I will shine my relenting spotlight on every pedialyte ring on the planet. Yes, every ring. The deeper darkness has been facilitating the lesser darkness, and I am about to expose the deeper darkness. And you saw in this video, this little pueblo where they're, you know, abusing little children. And I say, God, thank you for shaking. We need the shaking. We need the cleansing for these little precious ones. You know, when drug trade is all about greed, and then all kind of other sins attach themselves onto it to where people are hurt. Many people are hurt. Okay, I'm going on. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, justice, justice, justice. That is my present cry. My justice comes in so the least of these can experience mercy and love. I have seen the cries of my little ones, and their sobs were drowned out by my sobs, which now have seeded a roar of justice from within me. The time is now, and the response is a roar that precipitates a wave of justice. Hold on tight to me in the midst of it all, because the exposures will seem to threaten everything. Hold on to me and feel my safety and my security. Let your worship and your praise to me rise another level, and it will secure your heart. Let your confidence be in me. I am, in fact, coming to your rescue, and you will better know that in the coming days. You will progressively feel your atmosphere change as I do this thing, and it will greatly secure your heart. Know that this is not the enemy's day, nor is it the day I'm coming for you, but it is the day I am coming to you. We have much to do together, and accelerated days of destiny are straight ahead for everyone. And the Lord says, rejoice. This was in my heart, like all last week, this had been in my heart, and then I read this prophecy, and it kind of went about with what was stirring in my heart. And I have felt it's a time of shaking. You know, the physical world is shaking. There's all kinds of catastrophes happening. And in the emotional realm, you know, there's exposures of evil. And, you know, it's hitting every field and every mountain of evil, people that have been evil. But God is shaking, but our job is to draw closer and closer to the Lord and keep our eyes on the Lord, rejoice in Him, move with Him. The church has the answer, whose name is Jesus, to this world's problems. And as the shaking is going on, people are wondering and they're looking, and they're even looking for a hope. And I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 3 in the Passion Translation. Mostly today I'm going to be using New King James, and when I use something different, I'll try to tell you so you'll know where it's coming from. Okay, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for all that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honesty, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Hallelujah. So in the midst of the shaking that's here, it's important to put our attention on the Lord, to surrender to Him, to seek His face, and to know Him. We're going to read some scriptures on the shaking. We're going to read Isaiah 2, 17 through 19. And it says, "The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low." We know James 4, 6 tells us that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And going on in the scripture, "The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish." Idols are really anything that people put before God. "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily." Now we're going right on to Haggai 2, and we're going to read 6 through 9. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations." Who is Jesus? "And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." The host is talking about the angel army. Jesus is the captain. He's the Lord of the angel armies, and he's the Lord of the host. And he says, "And when the shaking comes, that God will bring peace." So God's shaking comes, with God's shaking comes his glory, which is his presence, wealth, and peace. And the Hebrew definition of peace is completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. So God's shaking is a blessing. It brings good things. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 and 2 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." In the time of shaking, we are going to see more of the presence of God with his people, more of his glory, more of the tangible presence of the Lord and his miracles with his people, and the darkness is going to get darker under Satan's influence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going on to Hebrews 12, and we're going to read 22 and 29, and it's kind of talking about, remember when Moses was in the wilderness and the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments and the presence of the Lord came over the mountain and there was shaking and trembling and the people that were in rebellion were, you know, swallowed up with an earthquake, and it was really a frightening time when the presence of the Lord came. And this is comparing what happened during that time to what is going to happen now. And it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So when we come to God, we come to an innumerable company of angels, to the assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him and spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven, which is the, here's talking about the supernatural sphere of darkness. 27. Now this, yes, once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, and of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. So the shaking of God is a promise, not a threat. The things that's going to shake are the things that need to be removed. And we're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If we are surrendered to God and in his kingdom, we're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. In the shaking that's going on, for a while the idea of the world was, people are going to ask sexual favors and you're going to need to comply to advance and to be promoted in so many different fields. And with, have you noticed all the shaking going on in the sex scandals that's happened? High people in every sphere of government, in the media, in the Hollywood, in the movies, in entertainment, in the government. God is shaking. And now the lackadaisical attitude that people have about it is gone. Now, all of a sudden, it's not all right anymore to the majority of the people. This isn't okay. And so the shaking has shaken some evil men, but it's also changing the mindset of people to know, no, this isn't all right. And no, we want the shaking of God for people to know that it is not all right to molest children and misuse them. And many other things, evil things that's going in our world. You know, we want God shaking because there's things out of order that need to be corrected. Amen? Hallelujah. So God's shaking is a blessing. Hallelujah. John 10:10, we know Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and life more abundantly. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's gifts are always good gifts to us. Hallelujah. There is a great contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And you can't live in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness at the same time. It's like we have the United States right here next door. We have Mexico. Well, you can't live in the United States and live in Mexico at the same time. I know we love Mexico. You know that. But when we're in Mexico, we're under the jurisdiction of Mexico. We have to obey their laws. We have to do bad. If we speed, we can get a ticket. And we have to pay it because we're under their jurisdiction. We have to have our papers to be there. You know, we have to do things right according to their laws because we're under their jurisdiction. In the United States, we're under the jurisdiction of the United States. We're obligated to abide by the rules here. And there's punishment if we don't. And so, but in the kingdom of light, God is God. Our God is God. And in the kingdom of darkness, Satan is God. And when we decide to step out of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness, we're under the jurisdiction of Satan. And we set ourselves up as open bait for the enemy to attack us because we're in his territory. So it's really important to stay on the right side. Hallelujah. Romans 14, 17, and this is in the Passion Translation. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy." So the kingdom of God is a spirit realm. It's where we unite with God's Spirit. The kingdom of darkness is full of every evil spirit, including sexual sins, greed, jealousy, anger, fear. You could put so many things that are in the kingdom of darkness. And accusation. Revelation tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that accuses. And right now there's a spirit of accusation in our news systems. It doesn't matter what channel you watch. There's a spirit of accusation, and that doesn't come from the Lord. And we have to really guard our hearts, because if we sit and listen, that same spirit can get off on us. And it has no place here. We belong to God. So we have to protect ourselves from the evil that's so rampant in the world. Amen. God wants to be the Lord of our life. He wants us to surrender to him and be dependent on him. An independent spirit says, "I want to be in control of my own life. I want to do my own thing." And that kind of independence from God, you know, we can't be independent from God and do our own thing. We have to be surrendered to God. Hallelujah. And trying to do our own thing will get us in trouble, because we aren't doing God's will when we have that attitude. Some years back, there was a young person that was going through trouble, and the Lord gave Calvin a word for her. And anyway, she didn't heed it, and she ended up in jail. But this word is just good for all of us. And it said, "The Lord is asking you to come under his authority. Only under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ can one be free. Under his authority, there's freedom and safety. Those who refuse to walk under the authority of the Almighty will find themselves under the controlling authorities of man. Man's authority is designed by God to control lawlessness. However, under God's authority, lawlessness does not exist. Therefore, one finds freedom and a safe place. Only by personal decision can one enter in and come under God's authority. He forces it on no one. And the Lord says, come to me and be safe." So when we're under God's authority, under the light, under his shadow, it's a place of safety. It's a place of security. It's an awesome place to be. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Psalms 91, verse 1, and then drop down to 9 through 11. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The Most High right here in Hebrew is El Elyon, and it means, his name there means love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life. And so it was saying, he who dwells in love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. And now on down to verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place where you live, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. Notice we read earlier about the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. When we live for the Lord and live in his light, there are angels all about us. They're just there. They're all over the place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We can say it like this. When we live in love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life, no evil will befall us, nor any plague come near our dwelling. Something that Sister Maria Luisa shared with me this morning, she was just sitting in her house and just in her time of prayer with the Lord, but she kept saying, I am healed. I am healed by the blood of Jesus. I am healed. I am healed. And then she began to hear like 100 voices all around her that said, you are healed. You are healed. You are healed. When we speak God's word, the angelic host comes in agreement with us and proclaims it as well. There's power in speaking forth the word of God. Hallelujah. I just was blessed by that testimony. Hallelujah. God does correct and cleanse us, but not from bad things happening to us. God corrects us through his word. When we read his word, it brings light into our hearts and corrects attitudes we have that's wrong or whatever. And he also cleanses us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just a cleansing. It just, when you worship God, you know, have you ever come into church just feeling kind of dirty or just miserable, and you just spend time and completely surrender to God, praising God, and it just tends to cleanse you. It's just a cleansing effect on us when we worship God. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. And it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. And so that's why it's important. You know, we live in a dirty world, and how I was talking about the attitude of the news can get off on us. Well, you know, the world can get off on us. All kinds of stuff can get off on us that aren't right. And so it's important, like King David said in the Psalms, search me, O Lord, know my heart, see if there be any evil way in me. And you know, we live in a dirty world, so sometimes it just gets on us. And we need the cleansing. You know, we need to say, okay, God, search me, cleanse me. You know, and usually it'll show up in bad attitudes or stuff that, you know, they just need to change. And his presence will change us. Hallelujah. And then if the Lord shows us something that's wrong in our life, his word says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we do have sin in our life, the place to go is the Lord, because he cleanses us. He forgives us, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's good news. Amen. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verse 6, and then down to verse 11. And it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. down to verse 11. Now, no chastening seems joyful at the present. Do your kids like it when you get after them? No, they don't, but it is for their good, yes. Amen. For the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And again, I say that God doesn't discipline us by letting bad things come at us, but he cleanses us with his word, and when we're in his presence, he washes us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the discerning of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we read the word of God, that's a cleansing effect on it. It shows us where we're falling short. Jesus said, you are already clean by the word I spoke. So his words are cleansing words. Hallelujah. And there's also a cleansing that comes from being in the presence of the Lord. This happened to Isaiah, and we're going to read Isaiah 6, 5 through 7. And Isaiah said, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you think he realized he was his uncleanliness before he came into the presence of the Lord? It's possible he didn't. He probably just, this is the way I am, you know. But when he came into the presence of the Lord, he was aware of his uncleanliness. And it's interesting how he said, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And Proverbs tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what we are saying is bringing death, or it's bringing life to us and others. Amen. And so we need the presence of the Lord to cleanse us. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Several years back when we were doing worship services on Wednesday night, Mitch kind of had a vision while he was up there praying, and it just really resonated in my spirit, and I've hung on to it. But this is what he said. As I was playing, I saw the Holy Spirit filling everyone that was in front of me that I could see, and everything that they were holding on to. You know, sometimes we say we let go of everything, but we really don't. Sometimes we say that we're okay, but we're really not. Deep inside, these people that I saw held on to things that they wanted to hold on to for some reason. But what I saw was the Holy Spirit covering them. It went into them, came out their ears, out their mouth. It totally encumbered everything about these people. Things started to come out of them like handcuffs, chains, disease, in the form of green smoke, black smoke coming out. And in the end, it was pure white. Praise God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God can manifest in our lives and clean us clear, pure as snow. Pure as snow. So being in the presence of the Lord has a cleansing effect on us. Hallelujah. Peter, we're going to skip over Matthew 3:11 and go to Acts 2, 1 through 4. I think I prepared too much.
food.
Hallelujah. Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and set on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know it's when the Holy Spirit comes into us, when we spend time in His presence, it just washes us. It cleanses us. It goes through us. Hallelujah. And it's such, the presence of the Lord is just so mighty and wonderful. Hallelujah. We're going to read Malachi 3, 2 through 3. And it says, but who can endure the day of His coming, speaking of Jesus, and who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. So it says when Jesus appears, He's a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. Hallelujah. Psalms 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. And so when silver and gold are processed, they put them on heat. They put heat. They're in a big pot and with heat on the bottom. And as the heat as it's heated, impurities come to the top, and they skim it off, and then they keep adding heat, and more impurities come to the top, and they clean it off, and they do it, I think, seven times is how they cleanse this gold and the silver to make it pure. And, you know, sometimes when we're under the fire, impurities will come to the surface that we didn't even know were there. You know, you'll be going through a trial, and all of a sudden something will come up out of you, and you're like, ooh, I didn't even know that was there. Where did that come from? But when things rise to the surface, we skim them off and throw them out. Hallelujah. And God's continually cleansing us. The Holy Spirit is also related to fire. It always talks about the Holy Spirit and fire. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit is like a fire burning within us, you know, raising the impurities to the top so we can get rid of them. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 in the Amplified Version. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from His, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural sphere. Hallelujah. So it's important to keep the armor of God on because we do have an enemy. Hallelujah. And we're living in the midst of darkness. Hallelujah. We are the light. But there is an enemy around us that's darkness, and it's important that we keep ourselves covered and our armor on and be ready. And it's also very important when the enemy is attacking to submit to God and resist the devil, like James 4:7, but also to keep an attitude of praise and thankfulness in the midst of trials. I just think thankfulness is so important. You know, every time we start to think negative, just stop and list things that you're thankful for. We all have things to be thankful for. And that changes our mindset when we begin to think on what we're thankful for. We're going to read Romans 5:3-5. And it says, not only that, but we also give glory, praise in the midst of tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, Romans talked about praise, and James talked about joy. And in the midst of whatever we are going through, it's important to have praise and to have joy. Joy is just so important. It's like if our attitude's right when a storm hits, we're going to go through it victorious. And I like to think of the old sail ships that used to sail across the ocean, like from England to the United States. And they, in times of storm, they had to be very careful how they set their sails. And we have to be very careful in the storms of life how we set our attitude, because how we react to the storms can make the difference in whether we sink or whether we go more quickly on our way toward our destination. The storms can actually push us closer to our destination if we set our sails right, if we have our joy on, if we have our praise on, if we have a thankful heart. Hallelujah. I've been hearing that all week too. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. List your blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to read Zechariah 5, and then we're going to drop down to 10 and 11. For I, says the Lord of hosts, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. So in the midst of the storms of this world, God wants to be a wall of fire around us. He wants to protect us. Now we're going on, and we're going to read Psalms 97 and the first 12 verses. And it says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You are you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read just a small portion of the prophecy I started with, where the Lord says, hold tight to me in the midst of it all, because the exposures will seem to threaten everything. Hold on to me and feel my safety and my security. Let your worship and praise to me rise another level, and it will secure your heart. Let your confidence be in me. I am, in fact, coming to your rescue, and you will better know that in the coming days. So as we watch our world in turmoil, it's important that we hide ourselves in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Pray for different situations as the Lord put it sin in your heart to pray. Bless people. Peter, will you come and play some music? And I just feel that this is a time for us to contemplate and say in our hearts, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I surrender myself to you. I'm yours, Lord. I'm not my own, I'm yours. You've purchased me, Lord, and I'm yours. I belong to you. Lord, I surrender myself to you under your command. Thank you, Jesus. I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I want us to all stand. And with the music playing, I want us to just raise our hands in surrender to the Lord, just as an act of surrender. Say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I give myself to you. I want to be hidden in the secret place of the Most High. Under the shadow of the Almighty, Lord, I call upon you. I call upon you. I call upon you, Lord, for you are great and mighty, and you're above all. And Lord, I surrender myself to you this day, and I say, Father, that you are my God, and I am your child, that I will attune my ear to your voice, and I will attune my ear to your word. And I will attune myself to fellowship with you, to praise you, to rejoice in you. If there's anyone that would like prayer for a special need this morning, or just if you're going through a battle and you need help, we would be very happy to join with you in prayer. Because God is God. God is God, and he's powerful. Hallelujah. And he's compassionate toward his people. And he's compassionate toward the lost. And he wants to draw all men unto him. He says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give rest unto your souls. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing, for your power. Lord, we worship you this day. We thank you, Father, for you are a mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do. Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Lord, as your people today, we surrender to you. I ask for a greater hunger for you, a greater sensitivity to your voice, your word. Put a greater hunger in us to be in your word, to fellowship with you. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to your will, because your will is the very best thing that can happen to us, Lord. And we say yes. Yes, Lord. We'll follow you with all of our hearts. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you all. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday.